We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, coming today to Matthew chapter 26. We'll begin at verse 57 and continue to chapter 27, verse 10. Now, this is primarily the Jewish trial of our Lord Jesus Christ as he's brought before Caiaphas, the high priest, and is accused of blasphemy on the charge of claiming to be the Messiah. Now, what's interesting is, in the backdrop of this, let's never forget, are the many proofs and abundant proofs that Jesus was just that. We think of the miracles that he had performed, rather astonishing ones. In fact, the event that really overshadows the final week of Jesus' life in so many ways is his raising of Lazarus in the nearby town of Bethany in John chapter 11, the day or two before he did his triumphal entry. It was widely known that he had raised a man from the grave. Now, that at least needs to be considered. More so, you have the many prophecies that were fulfilled. The prophecies had the effect of certifying the one who would come. You would see the detailed prophecies being fulfilled, and you would know that it was he that was available to them, although a great number of prophecies were about to be fulfilled. Why, then, did they abuse Jesus? Why did they bring false witnesses and then accuse him? Why did they beat him and spit on him? Because he would not approve their agenda. They were concerned not with the truth of God's word. You will find that the enemies of the gospel are not really seeking a biblical criticism, but it is their own righteousness and agenda that they are wickedly pursuing. Well, the passage goes on to Peter. And the problem is not just the opposition of the world and the persecution against Christ and his church. The problem is also the cowardice and the failure of we Christ people. There's no other way to put it. Peter, has, as Jesus had told him would happen, the night of the arrest, he's standing in the courtyard while the sham trial's going on inside. And instead of praying for Jesus, as he should have been doing, instead of boldly being identified with Jesus, he was as we tend to be. And he denied three times deliberately that he was a disciple of Jesus. What a dreadful thing. But Jesus had mercy on him. And as he had foretold, he was going to restore Peter. But then there's the case of Judas, the betrayer, who had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And these final verses of Judas' life are horrible in their despair. And just the darkness of it all. You know, when people oppress the gospel, when people ensure that the gospel is not available to be heard, where the Bible's not to be allowed in public discourse, when there's persecution to get rid of Christ and his people, there are people who do that are actually destroying themselves. And here Judas dies by his own hand. So it is with all who betray Jesus and his gospel amidst the cynicism of the opponents of Jesus. Well, the passage ends with a prophecy by the prophet Jeremiah. And we've been seeing many connections between Jesus and Jeremiah. We'll see more today. Christ is, in fact, the fulfillment of the prophecy. It's just the way of the Bible to say, but did they ever consider it actually was true? That needs to matter to us. Is it true? And if it's true, we believe it. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 57 of Matthew 26. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought him back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.